through chapter 7, which is really cool. We've come a long way. And while you get to Matthew 7, let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you. Lord, we just want to continue on what was just started in worship. Lord, we don't want to change anything, Lord. We want to sing to you, pay attention to you, mean everything that we're thinking and saying. We want to be real with you. And so I pray that just as we were in song, that we would be here in the word, Father. And I pray that you would just help us with that. I pray that you would just help me get through this, Lord, and help me feel better. And I just pray for everybody in here, Lord, that you'd protect them from sicknesses. And Father, that they would just have a wonderful night learning something new about you. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Well, according to one report I read, big business loses over $200 billion a year in counterfeit products. $200 billion, that's a lot of money. That means $200 billion that should be going to the people who actually make the products is going to people who illegally make these products that are counterfeit or fake. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to like a bigger city like New York City or like Chicago or some other places, but it's very easy to find counterfeit products. If you want like a fake Louis Vuitton bag, you can find it. Some fake Oakleys, you can find it. A fake iPod, you can find it. So let me introduce you tonight to some of the best, or maybe I should say some of the worst counterfeit products that are out there. All right, here's the first one. Maybe you guys have heard of Arm & Hammer baking soda. Well, how about Arm & Hatchet baking soda to the right there? That looks pretty close, huh? I would say it looks pretty darn close. Okay, how about the next one? You guys have all seen Starbucks coffee, right? Great place for coffee. Well, how about if you'd like a cup of Siyahi coffee in China? And yes, this is true. I'd like to note that they just opened up a new one at the bottom called Bucks Star Coffee. That is legit, my friends. This is not fake. What a ripoff, right? Well, we all know a lot about 7-Eleven, once named for the hours that it was opened. Well, how about the other Asian ripoff, 1-Eleven, right? Kind of bad hours, you know what I mean? You can't really get in there and get a donut from 1 to 11. That's not really a good time. You want 7 o'clock, right? How many of you guys ever played with Legos? Because I'm sure we all played with Legos, okay? Well, if you like Legos, then you'll love Bricks. To the right there. Those look awful familiar, don't they? Well, how about this next one? One of my favorites, big in soccer, big in golf, is Adidas, or right next to it you have Absids. They got 4 stripes, though, so they're like, how do you like me now, right? We got 4 stripes. You only got 3 stripes. We're better than you. That's so funny. Just horrible. That was not even close to Adidas, right? How many of you guys ever played PlayStation? Anybody own a PlayStation? Okay. Well, the PS3 or the PlayStation 3 will make way for the PolyStation 3. Dude, so funny, right? Hey, if you can't afford the real thing, maybe that's something you're going to want to look at. How many of you guys have ever made a search on Google? Guys, probably a lot, right? Okay. Well, I bet you never used Googie. I can't even pronounce it. It's G-O-O-J-J-E. It's like the Asian equivalent to Google, but they're ripping people off, right? How many of you guys got Chucks on tonight? How many of you guys, anybody got any cons on tonight? All right, we got some cons. We got some people rocking some cons. Well, here you go right here. If you guys can't afford the Converse All-Stars, well, you can always go down to Mexico and get some Converse 5-stars. It's like a restaurant rating for shoes or something like that, right? I give those Chucks 5-stars. Like, that's really weird. How many of you guys own an Apple product? An iPod, Mac, anything? That's what's up. Those are my people. Well, here's some of these ones on the right. No funny names, but definitely those things that cost about a fraction of the price. That bottom one on the right, that's not an iPhone. It looks pretty good, doesn't it? That's actually a fake iPhone right there. Well, last but certainly not least, how many of us have ever eaten at the Golden Arches, right? McDonald's. You guys, come on. Has anyone not eaten at McDonald's in here? Don't lie. Well, if you like McDonald's, well, then you'll love McDonald. This is legit, you guys. This is in Iraq. This is no joke, okay? One guy said, when he went there, that the food wasn't that bad. But I'm thinking, sometimes regular McDonald's scares me. How much more does McDonald's in Iraq freak you out, dude? Like, what is that meat made of? I love that. Like, they didn't even try. Just McDonald's. Like, I bet they think it's actually McDonald, not McDonald's. But those are some good imitations, right? Those are some good ones. Now, those are some of the best, or you could say some of the worst, some of the most easy to spot. Now, I must tell you, there is a greater group of imposters that is harder to spot than these companies. Now, they're not products, they're people. They're fake Christians. This is the biggest group of imposters in the world. Because who cares that $200 billion of counterfeit money is going to other people? There are counterfeit Christians who are losing their eternity and hurting others along the way. So today we're going to just see three quick points. We're going to see the wolves, right? We're going to see why they are dangerous and why they are imposters. Then we're going to look at the sheep. We're going to see what signs we as sheep can look out for these wolves. And lastly, we're going to see some information or a warning to those who are the imposters, that they are in danger of hell. So let's read our entire text. We're going to take out a big chunk today, verses 15 through 23. Let's read it of chapter 7. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Verse 21. Not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Let's look at our first point called this, the way of the wolf. Now, sadly, in North America, many wolf species have been put on the endangered species list because of how we used to hunt them back in the day. But I will tell you this, there is no shortage of the wolf that Jesus is talking about here in this verse. We saw last week how Jesus ended what was ending, right? Bringing to a close what is called the Sermon on the Mount. And he gave an invitation. And just like many of the people back then who accepted this invitation, we saw yet last week 41 of you accept the invitation to live for the Lord, which is amazing. And after this invitation to the narrow road, right? After this invitation, now here's Jesus giving a warning about how these wolves operate. Now, first off, what is a wolf? Maybe you're asking. I think we all know what a literal wolf is, right? But these people that Jesus is talking about have the characteristics of a wolf. Let's look at verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Okay, so these wolves, they are false prophets. Now maybe you're wondering, what is a false prophet? Well, before we look at what a false prophet is, maybe we should find out what a real prophet is, what a legit prophet is. Now a prophet is a person who was given divine information by God. So in the Old Testament, we see Moses all the way to Malachi, right? These people who God spoke to and said, hey, write this stuff down. Give this message to my people, right? So a prophet was a person who spoke on behalf of God. Now the same is in the New Testament, right? The Bible says that all the prophets and all the writers of the Bible wrote under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So a true prophet is a person who is given a message by God for people. So if that's true, then the opposite must be true for a false prophet, right? A false prophet, is someone who's been given instructions, who thinks they've been given instructions by God, but it's not true. In fact, the message that they've been giving is either from themselves, it's their own agenda, what they think about something, or it's of Satan. They've been given it by the devil. Right? And the way we know this is by backing things up on God's word. Now, if I came to you today and said, hey, did I tell you in the Bible that unless you dye your hair purple, you will not make it into the kingdom of heaven? Right? And I'll be like, hey, God told me that, by the way. You'd be like, okay, weirdo, right? But here's the deal. You could say, well, you know what? God's word says nothing about that. And I'd have to say, you're right. because it's not backed up by the scripture. Therefore, I'm a false prophet, right? You see, anything that's against what the Bible says, that person could not be a prophet. It must line up with what God is saying, right? So we must beware in these verses right here of false prophets. The reason that Jesus says this is because being God, right? Jesus was God at this time. He's always been God. He just came down to be a man. He could see the future. He could see all the things that were coming, and he knew what was about to happen. He knew that after he said all of those things on the Sermon on the Mount, that people were going to come and try to tell them that it was wrong. They were going to try to say, hey, all that stuff Jesus told you, that guy's not, he's not a prophet. He's not real. It's not the truth. But Jesus is saying, look, what I'm saying is true. I'm the prophet. I am God. I'm not just a man speaking on behalf of God. I am God who has also come down here to be a man, right? And by the way, they did call him a prophet, and there is a prophecy in the Bible that calls Jesus the prophet. Deuteronomy 18:15 is that scripture if you want to look it up later, for those of you who may want to read it. But Jesus here has spoken the true heart of God and what God has desired and how we ought to live, and that we should follow the narrow road like we saw last week, and that that way leads to heaven, right? But now he wants to tell you to be careful about what you do, right? Be careful. Because in the time that Jesus was writing right here, the wolves were the scribes and Pharisees. They were the religious people of the day. The Jews who loved to make rules and loved to get people to follow these rules but never had a relationship from God, they were the wolves. Now, not to get off, I don't want to go down to get far off, but I do want to talk about something real quick. There is going to be people in your lives, just like there was here in Jesus' time, who want you to think that as long as you follow the rules, that you're good. Now, yes, we should want to follow God's rules, you guys. We should. But we should never do it if we think, oh, that makes God happy, and then I can just do everything else I want to do, right? We shouldn't just think, hey, if I stop cussing and if I go to church, God's happy with that, and then I can just go do all those other things that I wanted to do. No, we should go to church. We should stop cussing. We should do those things because of our love for God. Because we understand what it is that he did for us on the cross, and now out of love, because he died for us in our place, now we simply, out of love for him, obey what he's asked us to do because we know he knows what's best for us. You see, it isn't about rules. It's about a relationship with Jesus. And this is why Jesus warned the people about the wolves. He knew that all that stuff that he said in the Bible, and you can read it, but condemning the religious people of his time, he knew that they would come back and say, oh, that's not true. No, that's not true. You just keep following all these rules and you'll be holy someday. You'll be good. He knew that those religious people only wanted to appear holy to men. They didn't care what God thought about them. They just wanted to seem superior to the people around them. So he knew that the scribes and Pharisees would try to bind them up with rules again and saying that that's the way to heaven, not faith in Jesus Christ, but by following a million rules. Jesus knew this would happen, and that's why he warns them that they were like wolves, right? If you guys don't know, that wolves travel in packs, right? And they always gang up on the weak ones, right? I don't know if you've ever seen Planet Earth or National Geographic or one of those shows. I love those shows. But, you know, wolves aren't, they don't play fair. They don't go for the strong one. You'll never see a wolf, like, go for this big old, you know, like, healthy-looking, you know, elk or something like that. You see him go for the little babies or for the ones that are sick or the ones that are slow, right? And so that's what the same thing is going on here. The scribes and the Pharisees would find a person who maybe was weak in the faith, had just become a Christian, or maybe somebody who didn't know a lot of stuff about theology or a lot of stuff about the Bible, right? And they would tell them, hey, what is it that you heard about these things? And because they weren't the strongest Christian or the strongest person about knowing the scriptures, they would tell them, oh, you've got it all wrong, man. You got to work harder. You got to do these things. You got to do all these things. And then you'll become holy and righteous and you get to go to heaven. Right? They're just like the wolves. They're preying on the weak. And this is why these people are so dangerous. Look at verse 15 again. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Okay. It says that these wolves are wearing sheep's clothing. You guys, if you guys don't know, there's many times in the Bible that believers are called the sheep, right? Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. My sheep know my name. There's many references in the Bible that the true believers of God are the sheep. That's what we can be considered as, okay? And so the reason why these wolves are so dangerous is because they look like the sheep. Or you could say the reason why the false prophet is so dangerous is because the false prophet looks just like a Christian, a true Christian. It's like Little Red Riding Hood, right? You guys all know Little Red Riding Hood, right? She's like, oh, Grandma, what big hands you have, or whatever. And he's all, yeah, because I'm going to, you know, claw your face off or something like that, right? We know that, you know, he's trying to, like, portray that he's somebody else. He's trying to show that, oh, I'm not a wolf. I'm just like you. Come on over here. And that's the same thing. These people want to appear like they're Christians, but they don't. They're just trying to pose as Christians so that they can get close to us, but they don't want to help us. They want to, just as we read, they're ravenous, they're hungry, they're fierce, they're ferocious. They want to take us down with them. And that's why it's so dangerous. I mean, here's the thing. In Jesus' time, the scribes and the Pharisees of the day, they were talking about God, okay? It's not like they were going around telling people about Satan or about some witchcraft or something like that. They were talking about God, and that's why it was so dangerous, because these people knew a lot of theology, right? They knew a lot about God. He says they look like us and they talk like us, but they are not us. And so maybe you're thinking, okay, well, that was Jesus' time. What about now? Are there still wolves these days? Oh, you better believe it. They're just as bad. There's people out there that want you to believe that if you come to Jesus Christ, that you can say goodbye to sickness, goodbye to being poor, goodbye to hard times, right? I'm like, here I am standing here like, I love the Lord and I feel really bad. So wait a minute. Clearly, that can't be true. He must be a false prophet, because we just read it last week. Jesus says, narrow is the road that leads to heaven, right? And difficult is the way. Okay, he didn't say easy is the way, you get $1 million, you get all these things. He didn't say that. So obviously that person is a fake person. Or there's someone out there who for like $29.95 wants to send you a special cloth from the Holy Land that will cure you of all of your diseases, right? That person's a false teacher. They just want your money. They're not interested in you and your growth as a Christian. They're interested in pulling the wool over your eyes. They want to eat us up and leave the bones behind, just like a wolf. So what are the signs we can keep, right? What are the signs for ourselves, for us the sheep, so we can watch out for these people? You know, we'll read it in a pretty long time from now, but in Matthew 24, Jesus says this. He says, in the last days, many people will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and many will be deceived. That's sad, right? There's going to be a lot of people in the last days, and we could very well be in those last days. There's going to be a lot of people coming saying, hey, I'm coming in the name of the Lord. I want to do some good here. I am the way, right? They want to say things that sound really good, but Jesus says, that's not me. So you need to watch out for the signs. So let's look at our second point called the signs for the sheep. Now, signs are a good thing. They help us know where we are. I mean, could you guys imagine, like, back in the days of, like, covered wagons, when they, like, decided to pack up and head west for, like, the gold rush or something like that? I mean, there's no street signs, man. You know what I mean? You're, like, on your little ox, and you're like, can I get, like, a 150-mile sign to California or something like that? You're just, like, trotting along on your donkey. Like, you don't know when you're going to get there. You're just going to travel all day until you finally get somewhere that you know, right? So signs are a good thing. They tell us where to go and where not to go. So let's look at the signs that so we can find out who's a wolf and who's a sheep. Verses 16 through 18. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. I'm going to stop there. So, we will know them by their fruit. Now, what does this mean? We all know that a plant or a tree, right, usually produces some sort of fruit, right? For example, an apple tree produces apples. They're edible. They're safe. But there is many plants and trees out there that also produce fruit, but it's poisonous fruit. You can't eat it. Many people get sick and die every year from eating stuff that looks good on the outside, but when they take a bite out of it, it's in fact very, very poisonous. Now, the same as us for here, okay? No matter how good the tree looks, the fruit might not be safe. Or you could say this, no matter how much a person looks like a Christian, right? Maybe they fooled us. It doesn't mean that they're actually living a life for God. They're actually producing healthy fruit. Let me make it easy for you, right? When you're a true Christian, good fruit just comes naturally. Like, let me give you an example. Maybe you used to be like an angry person. You used to get all fired up, right? And now you come to the Lord, and now you've started to see that in times when you're usually really angry and you're about to like get off the hinges with somebody, you see yourself being more gentle. Like, you know what? It's all right. Like, whoa, you know? Like, okay, that's fruit right there. That's fruit. When you do something godly instead of something in the flesh or in wrath, you reap good fruit. That is good fruit. Something that, like I just said right there. If you guys want to read about the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit that is produced in your life by the Spirit of God, you can read Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But here's the deal. If you call yourself a Christian, but all of your reactions are in the flesh and none of them are godly, well then no matter how many people you fooled, your fruit shows us really who you are, right? So if you're like, oh, I'm a Christian, I love the Lord, but every 2 seconds you're flying off the handle, you know, you're getting really angry at people all the time, and I'm not talking about a mistake, I'm talking about continuously doing these things, or you're continuously sinning, you can't stop doing the same thing, well, it looks to me like you're producing bad fruit. And Jesus says that the fakers produce bad fruit, right? So if you're a Christian, a true one, the fruit is just an outpour of your relationship from God. You don't have to do anything special besides follow the Lord. It's just what naturally happens. If you see someone in need, you'll just help them out, or you'll do as much as you can, or you'll try to be gentle, or you'll try to be nice to people, or you'll try to worry more about God than yourself. Those are just the natural things that come from following the Lord, right? But we need to be careful, because there's other people who call themselves Christians and look good just like that fruit, but really they just want to devour you. And so we need to be, just like Jesus said, we need to be aware of these people because they only want to bring us down. So there's two people that we need to evaluate when it comes to who's a false prophet and who's not, who's a fake Christian and who's not. Now, whether they're people at school, okay, so the first people is others. The first person we need to evaluate is everybody else, right? Whether it's somebody at school who is your friend or somebody who wants to become your friend, or maybe it's a pastor, right? Or someone you get spiritual advice from, you need to ask the question, are their lives bearing good fruit? Because if they call themselves a Christian, you'll be able to see the fruit in their life. You'll be able to see it. They won't always be like grounded. You're like, dude, why are you always grounded, right? You've been grounded for like 7 months. Like, that's like not a good sign that person's like living a life for God, right? Or if you see someone who's always caught up in popularity, right? You're like, dude, I don't see you bearing much fruit, okay? Now, here's the deal I need you guys to remember. It doesn't mean, I'm not saying perfection, okay? I'm not saying if your friend who loves the Lord makes a mistake and you're like, ooh, you're not bearing good fruit. No, this is continuously the same thing over and over without any desire to change. You see, we should want to share the gospel with everybody. You guys should talk to everybody at your schools, but it doesn't mean you make everybody your closest friend. And that's the truth. If someone at school wants to be your really good friend, well, I sure hope that they're a Christian and that they're bearing good fruit, right? I wouldn't say ignore them if they're not. I would say that be careful because they're going to be producing bad fruit and they want to take you down. Or be careful where you get spiritual advice, okay? I just told you guys on Wednesday, for those of you who are here, on the internet, you can find an answer to any question in the entire world, but who knows who these people are, right? They're just giving their 2 cents on everything. I could go up there right now and say, they're like, who is God? Well, he's this guy who lives next door to me, or what, you know what I mean? Like, you can write anything, and then some gullible person will read it and be like, God lives in Albuquerque, you know what I mean, or something like that. It's like, people will say anything, and so we need to be careful where we're getting our spiritual advice from, because we need to make sure that these people are bearing good fruit, okay? We don't want to be, look at the wolf, because this is what happens to the wolf. Let's look at verse 19. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Wow. That's a heavy passage. That's a sad passage. We need to be careful, because the end result of the fake Christian, the end result of the false prophet, is they will be cut off and cast into the fire, aka hell. So the first person you need to evaluate is others. The second person you need to evaluate, is yourself, right? These days, saying I'm a Christian, it's like saying that I'm American, right? It's just natural. People just say it. But here's the deal. You need to ask yourself these same questions you ask of others. Do I do these things in my life for God, or do I do them just to be seen? Do I really love God, or do I think that if I just go to church and pray, even though my heart isn't anywhere near God or wants to be, that God will be fine with that? You see, you guys aren't going to see like gigantic changes overnight, okay? But you should start seeing some changes in your life, okay? You may say, hey, you know what? I'm not perfect still, and no one's asking you to be perfect, but how are your desires, right? Do you want to be that person, right? Do you want to change? Even though you're not perfect, is your heart still saying, I need to do these things, I want to do these things? Because if they're not, you may be an imposter. And this brings us to our third point, called the information for the imposter. Now, first off, I want to tell you guys this, okay? And I told you this before. If you give your life to Jesus Christ, it doesn't mean that overnight, all of those sinful things you've done are just, you're just going to stop doing them, right? Like if there's a person who's been cussing for 20 years of his life, gives his life to Christ, the next day, he might very well have stopped cussing, but he may still say some things in mistake every now and then, right? But the point is this, that he wants to stop. The point is this, that he doesn't have to give in to those same sinful things anymore, because Jesus has conquered that in his life, okay? So you should over time see a change, okay? When I was a very different person before I came to the Lord. And after I became a Christian, I still struggled with a lot of things that I struggled in my old life. But now as I look at my life as a whole, as a Christian, I can see that all of those things have almost come to a dead halt, that they've really been shed out of my life, that I really am a different person. My desires really are changed. And you see, over time, that's what happens. And over time, that's what we want to gauge yourself this here. And the reason I'm telling you this is for two reasons. Number one is this, the next passage we're about to read. I don't want you guys to read this and be like, oh no, I'm not saved, right? Like, oh no, I still mess up every now and then. Maybe I'm not going to heaven. I don't want you to think that, okay? If you have a desire to change, and over the course of your Christian life, you do see yourself on the upscale in righteousness and on the downscale for sin and all those other things, then that is a good thing, okay? This next passage is for those people who call themselves believers, but in fact they're imposters, and they don't even realize it. They've even fooled themselves. I'm going to go to 21. I don't know why I put that there. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. It's a very sad passage of the Bible. You see, the reason why I called this message wolves, sheep, and imposters is this, that there's many people who know that they're wolves. They don't want to be close to the Lord. They just want to appear to be a Christian so they can take advantage of us. Whether that's bring us back to our old lifestyle and get us caught back up in sin, whether that's to take our money for us, whether that's to give us a false hope that the Bible never talks about, like you'll never get sick, like I told you before, right? So there's plenty of people who know that they're wolves. Then there's the sheep, the true believers in Christ. But then there are the imposters. These are the people that, honestly, they think they're Christians. But just as we saw in this passage, they never knew God. They weren't perhaps looking to devour sheep like the wolves are, but nonetheless, deep down, they don't care or don't know God. And the reason why these people think that they're believers, or the reason why we think that these people are obviously believers, because what it says right there, he says, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord. Now, who calls Jesus Lord? Well, certainly not unbelievers, right? No unbeliever calls Jesus Lord. Only people who truly believe that Jesus is Lord call him Lord, or those who are just putting on a show and want to say, oh Lord, I love you, right? Oh Lord, you're the king of my life, but I don't yield to your word. I don't sincerely pray. I don't look to you for advice. You see, these people are just going through the motions, but there's no personal relationship behind it. You guys, there's many people in our very own church. There may be people in this very own room who sing the songs, who listen to the pastor's teaching, who even call Jesus Lord, but deep down in their hearts, there's no reflection of it. You see, that's what's called lip service. I don't know if you guys have ever heard the term lip service, but it means this, just telling somebody what they want to hear to appease them. It's like a person whose boss comes up to him and is like, listen, I need you to make 15 copies of this, 20 copies of that, and 30 more of these. And she's like, yes, sir, right away, sir. You got it, boss. And then behind her back, she's like, stupid guy. You know, like, I'm not going to make no copies for you. You know what I mean? Like, she's just giving him lip service. She says, right away, sir, yes, boss. But in her heart, it really tells what she thinks of him. And this is what Jesus is getting at. He says, oh, you say, whatever you want, Lord, whatever you want to do in my life, Lord. But behind your back, and you don't really believe that. Your heart really isn't for that. You see, if we really believe that God is who he is, we would start living a very different way. We would start to understand that God is everywhere. In our rooms when we're by ourselves, on the internet when we're by ourselves, in the skate park when we're by ourselves. He is everywhere. He knows our very thoughts. He knows deep into our thoughts. He knows our hearts and what we really think about him. So here's people in the Bible who think that just because they say the Christian words and they know the Christian words and they do these things and they carry a Bible, that they're saved. Look at that. They say, Lord, don't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we do many wonders in your name? Look what Jesus says. I never knew you. These are people who praise the Lord and do things for God, just like that lady, right? Yes, boss. Yes, sir. But in their hearts, they're like, whatever. I want to do what I want to do. They are imposters. They fooled even themselves. Look at verse 23. I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. This is the end for all fake Christians. Jesus says, I don't know you. You're not one of my sheep. You can't come near me because you practice lawlessness. You see, these people obviously called him Lord, had all the right things to say, but they said he practiced lawlessness, meaning they didn't obey Jesus. They went and did their own things. They lived as if it was all about them. There was never any repentance in their life. Although they called him Lord, they never said, I want to switch from my way into your way. That's repentance, right? You cannot have your cake and eat it too, you guys, meaning this. You can't have Jesus and be immoral. You can't have Jesus and lust after guys and girls all the time. You can't call yourself a Christian because you like it, but not conform to what the Bible says on how you should be living your life. And once again, I'm not talking about perfection. I'm not saying that when you get saved that you should never mess up. I'm saying that when you do mess up, you should hate it. You should have a desire to want to change. And even when you mess up, you're like, oh, Lord, this isn't what I want. You should have that deep regret because you will mess up. We all do. But it's about how you feel when you mess up. Because if you don't have that desire and you can just sin without no worries. I can just roll off some bad language without even worrying about it. I can totally neglect reading the Bible and prayer all week, and it doesn't even bother me. Well, then I would say this. Be careful, because you may have fooled me and fooled everybody in this room. You may have fooled your parents. You may have fooled even yourself, but you can never fool the living God. He'll say, you never truly followed me. I never knew you. So, there's a lot of counterfeit products in the world. And we may not be able to stop all those counterfeit products, but we can stop the counterfeit Christians. We can start making sure that we ourselves, you guys, are true. That we really do want to serve him. And we can tell if we are true by the fruit in our lives. Next, we can assess one another. The Bible says, warn the unruly. Meaning, if you have friends who call themselves followers of Jesus Christ in love and always in love, you should confront them. Okay? It doesn't mean you say, hey, bro, I can tell how messed up your life is. You say, listen, I love you. And you know, the Bible says that if we're truly believers, we should be bearing good fruit. What do you think the good fruit of your life is? And if they're like, well, maybe you're bearing bad fruit, man. Maybe it's time for you to repent. Stop what you're doing and start going the way that God wants you to go, right? There should be fruit. There should be godliness, holiness, if they're a true believer in God. And lastly, be careful where you guys get your advice. Beware of those who look, act, smell, whatever, like a Christian, right? They got all the good words. They look just like all of us. If anything they tell you is not backed up by this book right here, you tell them you're not having any of that because they may be a wolf. They may be looking to take you down, right? You guys know how it is. What's the biggest thing people say about us? Christians are hypocrites. Okay, well, guess what? We may not be able to stop every false prophet or every imposter, but we can watch ourselves, can't we? C.S. Lewis, the writer of Chronicles of Narnia, said this, "What can you ever really know about another person's soul? In the whole of creation, only one soul's fate has been placed in your hands." You see, people may be able to fool you, and they may be able to say that they're a follower of Jesus Christ, and you may tell them every single day about the Lord, or you may tell an unbeliever all the time about the Lord and how much they need them, right? But guess what? That person may at the end of the day say, I don't want anything to do with you. Okay, you can't control what that person's going to say, but you know what you can control? Yourself. You can say, despite what the world wants to do, I want to serve God. Despite how the world acts, I want to bear good fruit. Despite all the hypocrites that maybe are in this church, I want to be a true follower. And if we all watch ourselves, well then, goodness, we'll make some huge progress. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I pray that we would just be able to be genuine, Lord. I pray that, Lord, everybody here would look at their lives and say, is there fruit? And we know that there's always fruit, Lord, but the question is it good fruit or bad fruit? And I pray that, Father, if anybody in here says, man, I've been producing some bad fruit lately, Lord, that they, if they haven't, they would give their life to you today and repent. They would change of their ways and go towards you. And Father, I pray that if there's anyone else in here who is a true Christian, Lord, that they would, Father, they would walk worthy. They would know that we are your representatives. We are the present day prophets, Lord. We are the ones who get to speak your word on your behalf. We are the ones who get to say, this is the God of the Bible, and I want you to know him, Lord. Father, you said everything you've ever wanted to say in this book, and I pray that we would be able to share that with other people. We love you. Please bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. If you guys need anything, if there's anybody out there who needs to give their life to Jesus, you come up right here, okay? Have a good week. I'll see you on Wednesday.